Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. We're going to have a fun show. Lots of pretty cool stories, Don. One that really I think you might be interested in is 10 reasons you're not catching walleyes. We're going to talk about that later on in the show.
Good. I'm going to talk about snake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are. I know you are. Ava, good to see you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, and I think it's going to be a good show. Looking forward to it. You guys hang in there. We will be right back. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you, Donald.
Yeah,
Ava.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, you had a little adventure. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yep.
Kind of cool. Kind of want to jump into a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of people that are trying to get, you know, the summer's really getting into the boating and recreational side of things. And people are wanting to pick up personal watercraft and whatever. You know, there's some people that, you know, they've ordered things last year and coming in, they may have come in, but they're coming in missing parts still now, which is crazy, you'd think, right, Don? I mean, if you ordered something a year ago, you think, well, that's easy enough. We should be able to get it and have everything ready to go.
So the supply chain issue hasn't gone away?
The supply chain issue is full force, front and center. And, you know, the big thing, I guess, is what I'm saying. The supply chain issue isn't going to change anytime soon, especially in the recreational side. Everything we get, you're not going to be able to go in and go find something and go, hey, they have one. I can buy it off the floor. It's a rarity at best, unless somebody happens to just say, well, I don't want it anymore, whatever that might be. So really, the point I want to make is to make a good purchase, look at the time frame you want to get it. Plan on having a 6-month lead time. Sometimes it's over a year that you need to have to get these pieces and parts or the unit that you're looking for, whether it's a boat or it's a whatever that might be. And realize too that when you get one of those now, almost every company out there, they're not going to hold pricing on it either. There has pricing costs that go up, and that will be passed on directly to the
consumer,
retail, the retail customer. So understand that going in, and realize too that the retailer wants to get you their product. They want that because they don't get paid until it's delivered. So understand the planning aspect, know what you want. You can stop out and see a lot of different products and try them and sit in them and see what they feel like and, you know, research it. But get your product ordered ahead. Right now, you deal with 2023s. That's what people are ordering now.
Right. You know, it's not a local issue.
No.
You know, us living in Red Wing, you look online and it's all over. I mean, the whole Midwest has got the same issue.
There's a
dealer here and a dealer there that might have a boat, but it might not be the one you're looking for.
Right. And really, it comes down to, Don, it's not just, I mean, not Midwest. It's
national,
all over the U.S.
Yes.
Getting calls from people in California, from Florida, from Texas today, from you name it, where it is, people are wanting these units. But, of course, we're working, and most dealers will work to keep that in that territory because they want to be able to service that customer. But the big problem is you got to take the time and understand that it's going to take time to get that unit. So if you want it by fall, understand and ask that question. Be comfortable with the fact that it's going to take time to get that. So plan ahead when you're looking for outdoor and recreational products, whether it's a boat, a side-by-side, a snowmobile, whatever. You think it's too early now to order a snowmobile? You're wrong. If you're dealing with ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, all those pieces and parts, personal watercraft, there aren't any anywhere. And when you buy a used one, you know what you're going to pay for it. In the used market, be wary of the used market. That is a price that's driven sky high on the open market when people are looking. So if they've got it and you want to buy it, they're going to charge you
premium
plus. So understand that fact. Go out. If you have questions, ask retailers. They will be honest with you as well. So, Donald, jumping into fun stuff, you nice long trip up to the northern hinterlands of Canada.
Well, yeah, we got across the border. We had two groups that were going. The first week was unbelievably miserable. I don't know that in the 35, 40 years I've been going to Canada, I've run into a week quite like this, where it literally rained every day, and the winds, 20 was a low. So you're dealing with the wind and the rain. And we did warm up to like 58 one day.
Oh.
So when you get, that temperature and wind and wet, it's not that comfortable. However, we caught a lot of fish.
Well,
the fishing was really good. We did have one afternoon that we saw that big yellow ball. That was kind of exciting. But we literally...
Oh, the sun. Okay.
Yeah. We were literally in rain suits the whole week. Now, we took those fellows in. Because we were out 15 miles on an island, we brought those in, and more guys were showing up for the following week. The most beautiful week I've ever had.
And caught fish.
Oh, wow, yeah. The walleyes had kind of slowed up a little bit near the end of the first trip. And every walleye we looked, that we were cleaning to eat, their stomachs were empty. We said the bite's going to come. The feed bag's going to go on. The next day, on Sunday, we had our best day in 2 weeks.
I love that. Yep. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, we've got a lot of fun that you can have up there. We're going to have a lot more fun coming up with the trip we have coming. I'll talk about that when we come back. And we'll have more Miley Outdoors right after this. Glad you guys are hanging out with us, and we always like to have you check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com and Facebook. Like us, please.
Yep.
Cool things coming up, Don. We'll mention it. I know you can hear it in the promos and the fishing with us.
A chance to go fishing with us.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if you go online and you look at our website and you can see the guys that were there last year, and they made comments after they were there, I will tell you, they are still registering this year.
A bunch.
They would like to go back.
You can register every day. Understand that.
Yes.
You can register every day. And guess what?
It's a fun time. Hey, look, we're going up for 4 days. We're going to be staying at Ashkenam Lodge, and we provide all the food and all the fishing fun. About the only thing you got to do is get to your fishing license and get there and we take
educational,
care of the rest.
Fun, and yeah, it's as close to what is. It's a guided trip. We're just hosting, is what it is.
Right.
But nonetheless, it's you know, if I'm in a tournament situation, we're going to be looking for spots like we do in a tournament in my boat. So you get a bunch of different type of experiences. And, you know, we'll have the 22-foot Vexus. We'll have the 20-foot Vexus up there. So you're going to get a chance to ride in a bunch of different boats, a lot of different philosophies in fishing. And it's sure to give you education as well as a ton of fun. So
you might pick up some new tips.
You might. Just maybe.
You just might.
You just might be able to watch me tie a special rig up and give it to Don like I did last year.
Yeah, he's not tying any of my rigs anymore.
Yeah, you've been fired. Yeah.
It's called the trick rig.
Yeah.
When you set
the I don't think he tried to tie it that way. I think he had a malfunction, and now he's making the claim.
Yeah. Oh, I did it
well,
on
do you
purpose.
Think I, Don, do you think I don't check the lines when I hand them out to everybody?
Yeah, well, it was tight till the knot come undone.
Oh, no, it was loose right away.
Oh, yeah.
It's the adjustable, sort of.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Anyway,
fish.
It's all good. And that's what I figured. You catch fish anyway. But it's a good time. It really is a good time. And
beautiful scenery.
Yeah. It is amazing up there. Having worked up there as a kid, up on cab, and the access to go to a lot of different waters. And the nice part, too, is even if the wind blows, we got places we can go, because it blew a couple days up there.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty heavy duty, but we got her done and caught some fish. So great host, great area.
Get registered. Register every day.
Get registered every day. The Valley Outdoors.
Your odds, because what we do is we put all the names in a hat and we pull them out. So the more times you're more.
The
times
Valley
your name out, is
yep. TheValleyOutdoors.com and slide down to the Fish With Us tab. It's right there, and click on it and register. And again, do it every day. That's what the deal is. So we don't shy away from inviting people to
go fishing with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. One thing I wanted to bring up, last week we weren't able to record, and unfortunately our producer, our loved producer Ava, they lost their pup, one of their pups, and it was a sad deal. And so hearts go out to you, Ava.
Thank you.
We totally understand that, and it was difficult because I think we all kind of go through when we each lost a pet.
Oh yeah.
So
I know exactly.
This one I had since I was 19. I'm 31 now.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, most of my adult life I had her. And
yep.
Yeah,
makes it difficult.
Tough.
Yep. It makes it difficult. And you know what? The part that's odd about it, even though you tell yourself, you know, they're better off this way, it doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact that it's just their family member, et cetera. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's why a lot of people go out and get another puppy, you know. It just kind of...
Fill the void,
you know, and I avoided the void the last time.
Well,
and don't go to Game Fair.
No, that's it. I've told you that. I can't. I got to stay away because I know there's so many kennels there that I got pups. And
they're there.
Those pups, every one of them has got the eyes that say, take me home.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well,
right.
It helped that we have another dog at home.
Right.
If I came home to an empty house.
Yeah.
That'd be a different story. And if we weren't having twins, maybe another puppy.
I don't think now's the time, though.
I don't think so either. If,
no.
If we get another dog, it'll be a shelter dog.
Well, it could help you in the potty training thing.
Yeah.
I put too much time into puppies. I don't have the time.
No.
Oh, trust. We went through the whole training on the other dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, Ava, we certainly feel for you.
Thank you.
And,
I appreciate
that. It's a difficult thing, so.
We miss you, Piper. We
there
sure
you go.
Do.
There you go. R.I.P., Piper. So, Don.
So, where are we not catching walleyes?
10 reasons.
10 reasons.
Full 10 reasons that you're not catching walleyes.
I can give you one.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Okay.
I mean, there's more than 10, but we're taking the high.
If you don't have mine in there, I'll bring it up.
Now, yours would be catfish.
No.
Yep. So this is a good buddy of mine, Gary Parsons. He fishes the PWT, or used to fish PWT, fishes the National Walleye Tour. Fantastic angler. And one of those things that really, all these come up as you experience them on a tour. And it's by mistake, or you learn from your mistakes. One of the, however you want to bring it up. So one of the things that is big, a lot of people use live bait, right?
Yep.
And one of those issues is the natural movement of live bait is important. So the number one thing is your bait's not fresh enough. And it's true.
Okay.
Whether you're using
crawlers,
minnows, change them every 5 to 10 minutes based on how the bait looks. Crawlers can get stretched out. They can look weak, and they're not very
juicy
looking.
You haven't fished in Canada recently.
No. But the point really comes down to, in the case we're using live bait, crawler harnesses, and we've done this. We've tried using night crawlers versus a gulp crawler, and in that environment, I'm sorry, no matter what anybody tells you, a crawler will outperform on a night on a crawler harness. When you're trolling, a crawler will outperform a gulp or plastic every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Unfortunately, for those of you that won't believe it, now, if
that's
you're
me.
Jigging or pitching or doing something like that, then you don't have a static bait presentation where you're moving it and creating that live bait action, then you're going to have that because they'll come up and they won't bite that crawler that's on a crawler harness. So that's one. Number two, your jigs are too heavy.
Yeah.
Now, use the lightest jig possible. Heavy jigs make it harder to feel strikes, which are usually very subtle resistance. What my point is, too, with jig fishing, hook sets are free. Whether it's jig fishing or otherwise, hook sets are free. Some, you know, in the seminars that I do, people ask, well, how do you know what a bite feels like? Well, if you think there's something abnormal, set the hook. And what happens is the number of times that you suddenly realize, oh, that was a rock, you become educated into what a bite feels like. And that will change the best anglers from those that are not. And it's a big deal. So one of the things that I believe in strongly is when you're beginning fishing, use a heavier jig. You're going to get hung up a little more, but you need to feel where the bottom is. If you can't feel the bottom and somebody says, we need a lighter jig, then there's no reason you should be using a lighter jig. So be aware, if you can't feel the bottom, let that happen. Go with the quarter ounce rather than an eighth or 3/16. Use that weight to tell you what's going on. And if you're a beginner, make sure that you understand when you're casting a jig, it also tells you a lot about what the bottom content is. If you're catching fish or all of a sudden you get one and then, oh, wow, I just felt it was rock and then transitioned to sand, or it's really rocky here and you go some other place and you think it looks like the same on shore and it doesn't feel the same. You've got to pull up, and that's when you start using your graph and look at what the contours look like. Set up a milk run based on those same type of inside corners, outside cuts, tips, points, underwater points, and current areas if you're on a river scenario. So utilize the jig as a depth finder and content identifier on what's going on in the bottom. And if you find fish, make sure that you're feeling the same thing.
Actually, that was a method we used when I was on my last trip. And we were finding right on that transition. Jigging, you could tell when you're hitting the rock, and then you come hit the soft bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And 34 feet was the number.
There you go. Were. But you probably were using quarter ounce jigs, my guess is.
Yep.
Or three, you know, in that area.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. The next one, your jigs and rigs are dragging on the bottom. Okay. Now, there's certain pieces and parts of this in my mind that, yeah, that can be if you're snagging up a lot. And that's one of the things is, the more you drag, the more you snag. But if you're identifying, and one of those things that comes up is on Mille Lac Lake or sandy areas that you're going to find, when you pitch a jig and you're dragging it, those walleyes will absolutely pin that bait to the bottom, and they will bite and grab it. So dragging is not necessarily a bad thing as long as you identify the areas you can do that. Sandy areas, dune areas where if there's current that it creates a dune, those fish will hang behind the dunes. And let that be your guide. And really one of the things that happened was we were fishing and the wind was blowing us. We were up on Leech Lake and we were jigging and I put my rod down and I went to go grabbed something from the back of the boat because you're using a jig and a leech. I came back up. I was trying to get a fresh leeches, swap them out in the ice. I came back up, and I looked at the rod tip, and I'm like, well, there's a fish on it. Set the hook, and it was one of the bigger fish of the day. Well, guess what? Everyone was lifting and dropping. We suddenly changed to dragging, and guess what? We lit them up. So understand, yes, if you drag too much, you snag, but also understand that if you're not on the bottom or close, you're not going
to
get
the bottom
same
has
fish.
A lot to do with whether you can use that approach.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. You're casting too far. Long cast and range give you more snags and a lot of times give you less fish detection, especially when fishing jigs. Position the boat so you can make short casts, say 30 feet or so, which gives the jig a nice pendulum fall. And everything is going to depend on the jig itself. If you're using casting or jigging wraps or ripping wraps, you can get a longer cast, say 75 feet. And the reason is you want to be able to have a longer distance to get that bait to the boat so those fish can make a decision. And that's one of those things that come into play. The heavier baits, like I said, the number 9 jigging wraps, Rapala jigging wraps, and the number 6 ripping wraps, those are going to give you a longer distance cast. And what I'm also making sure you do in that case, if you're doing that, use a jig, use a braid. I use nano braid, a Suffolk nano braid, and you tie on about an 18-inch leader of, about 12 to 15-pound fluorocarbon.
Mm-hmm.
You tie a loop knot on the braid, tie a regular improved clinch onto that, and then you simply tie your jig or your crank on it or your jigging wrap, whatever. That will create the difference, especially if you're in clear water, the fluorocarbon is needed. Otherwise, it's the feel you get from that braid in those situations that changes it. So use that for a jig. You don't have to go all mono. Put that braid on. Give yourself the sensitivity to understand, again, what is really a bite and what's not. You're cranking the weed edges too slowly, right? Weed edges are reaction strikes. So if you can line up and cast a weed edge along it, that's one of the things that comes into play. Don't do it slowly. Reel it fast and get the reaction strike so those fish are going to come out and hammer that bait. You're trolling too fast. One of the things to keep in mind here, let the fish tell you what they want. If trolling too fast is one of the things that comes up, well, you can certainly slow down. But one of the things that I find many people make the mistake on, and I got caught doing it many times, I was trolling too slow. I'm trolling cranks at maybe 2.1. Vary it. Go up to 2.8 or 2.9. On your Minn Kota handheld, it's called HSB, High Speed Bypass. Punch it twice. It'll bring you up to full throttle and then shut it back off. It's going to create reaction strikes. If you're running with planer boards, you're running long lines, it's going to give you the advantage. It's going to create a trigger or it's going to create a triggering strike. You're neglecting your electronics. That's a big one. I just was out last couple days going out with people, kind of helping them understand how to set up their electronics, how to set up their boats, and how to utilize the spot lock on the Minn Kota, the bow mounts, to their full advantage. And it's amazing. It just takes a little time to research, a little time to understand what things look like inside image, in 2D sonar, as well as down image. And when you start putting the pieces together, it all starts to make sense, and you can identify key fish holding areas. So that's a big one. You're leaving fish behind. Number 9, when you're several bites, you're trolling. Instead of continuing your planned route, stop, turn around, and go back over it. A lot of times these fish are podded up, and that's, you should see in a tournament environment when you find a pod and people know it's a podded scenario, how fast people will flip their lines in, turn the boat around, and get back on it, and it turns into a kind of a comical show because you're trying to get everything reset back, put back down, and hit that pod of fish before somebody else comes over that same pod of fish that you just caught maybe one or two fish on. So Understand you can identify it. One of the ways I did this, I was trolling crankbaits on one of the spots you're fishing with a friend of mine, and we marked fish on the bottom, and we didn't catch anything, but I marked a pod of fish that I thought were walleye. We made a whole stretch. I came back. I said, let's start out here. First time I ever used slow death. And I was getting ready to go out to the tournament in South Dakota, which I won using that technique. Came back, patrolling along. I had two rods in. I was rigging up a third one. And my buddy's like, we're snagged up. I said, it's not possible. This is all sand. He grabs a rod. It was a 28. Gets that to the boat. We net it. The other rod's bouncing. That's the only rod now in the water. I'm just putting the other one out, dropped it down. 26 and a half, and we had 25. We had three fish off that one pot of fish simply by identifying and using electronics on that particular part of the gig. So, and number 10, you're pumping the rod. Don't pump the rod or set the hook while you're trolling. Now, that's a fallacy too, in a way. Sometimes you want just the trolling to take its effect, but a lot of times if you're trolling harnesses on Green Bay, specifically one of the tournaments we were fishing, we actually pulled the line forward with the planer board on it, let it go, let it settle, and that spinner would settle down and kind of tumble. Bam, fish would hit it. But you had to be doing that with all four boards to get those fish to go. So understand action, maybe making S turns, fast inside, fast outside. Those are the key elements that are going to change how you succeed or don't succeed when you're fishing for walleye. So those are your top 10, what to do and what not to do.
I'll have one.
What's that?
One thing that I always tell guys is they don't think about the fact when they're putting on bug spray or hand lotion, you know, or their sunscreen and things like that, and they don't wash their hands properly. And you get any of that on your bait.
Oh, it's done.
It's lights out. I mean, you're done.
Unless you got WD-40, but that's okay. But right. Everything else is no good.
Everything else is no good. If you got gas on your hands, anything other than soap that will erase scents.
Keep that in the boat. It's always a good thing. Well, that about wraps up the show, you guys. I appreciate you hanging in with us today. Lots of cool stories. And, of course, for Don, Ava, and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. We're going to have a lot of fun. And, go out there and have some fun in the outdoors yourself. See ya.